This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of ulnar variants from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Ulnar variants is the length of the ulna compared to the length of the radius at the wrist. Diagnosis is made radiographically with PA wrist radiographs. Positive ulnar variants indicates a longer ulna compared to the radius, and a negative ulnar variants indicates a shorter ulna. Treatment depends on severity of symptoms and the underlying condition. Now, let's get into the episode, starting with epidemiology.
With respect to the male-to-female relationship, ulnar variance is lower in males than in females. And as far as the age bracket, ulnar variance increases with age. As far as risk factors, positive ulnar variance may be present in child gymnasts. And this is because distal radial growth plate injury leads to premature closure of the distal radial physis. Now, let's talk about the pathophysiology of ulnar variants. We'll go over congenital, trauma/mechanical, and iatrogenic causes. Congenital causes that affect ulnar variants include a Madelung's deformity, which corresponds to a positive ulnar variance, and a reverse Madelung's deformity, which corresponds to a negative ulnar variance. Traumatic/mechanical causes of ulnar variants include distal radius/ulnar fracture with shortening, growth arrest, such as a previous Salter-Harris fracture, and DRUJ injuries, such as Galeazzi and Essex-Lopresti lesions. Iatrogenic causes of ulnar variants include joint leveling procedures, such as radial or ulnar shortening/lengthening procedures, or radial head resection, which corresponds to a positive ulnar variance. Associated conditions with positive ulnar variants include ulnar abutment syndrome, scapholunate dissociation, TFCC tears, arthrosis, which may involve the ulnar head, lunate, and or triquetrum, and lunotriquetral ligament tears. Associated conditions with negative ulnar variants include Kienbach's disease and ulnar impingement syndrome, where the ulna impinges on the radius proximal to the sigmoid notch. Now let's go over different examples of ulnar variants with respect to the load that passes through the radius and the load that passes through the ulna. So in the setting of positive ulnar variants, when the length difference between the ulna and the radius is +2 millimeters, the load that passes through the radius is 60%, and the load that passes through the ulna is 40%. In the setting of positive ulnar variants, when the length difference between the ulna and the radius is +1 millimeter, the load that passes through the radius is 70%, and the load that passes through the ulna is 30%. In the setting of neutral ulnar variants, when the length difference between the ulna and the radius is 0 or less than 1 millimeter, the load that passes through the radius is 80%, and the load that passes through the ulna is 20%. In the setting of negative ulnar variants, when the length difference between the ulna and the radius is -1 millimeters, the load that passes through the radius is 90%, and the load that passes through the ulna is 10%. Finally, in the setting of negative ulnar variants, where the length difference between the ulna and the radius is -2 millimeters, the load that passes through the radius is 95%, and the load that passes through the ulna is 5%. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll talk about neutral ulnar variants, or ulnar zero, positive ulnar variants, and negative ulnar variants. Neutral ulnar variants, or ulnar zero, is when the difference between the ulnar and radial length is less than 1 millimeter. In positive ulnar variants, you will have ulnar-sided wrist pain from increased impact stress on the lunate and triquetrum. Ulnar variants becomes more positive in pronation, and ulnar variants also becomes more positive during grip. Finally, with respect to negative ulnar variants decreases in supination. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a PA of the wrist with the shoulder abducted to 90 degrees, the elbow flexed to 90 degrees, and neutral forearm rotation. As far as the method to determine ulnar variants, first you will draw two lines. One line tangential to the articular surface of the ulna and perpendicular to its shaft, and one line tangential to the lunate fossa of the radius and perpendicular to its shaft. Then you will measure the distance between these two lines. Normal is 0 millimeters. If the ulnar tangent is distal to the radial tangent, you will have positive ulnar variance. If the ulnar tangent is proximal to the radial tangent, you will have negative ulnar variance. With an MRI, you can estimate but not quantify the degree of ulnar variance. And this is because specific wrist position cannot be duplicated in an MRI. Finally, as far as treatment of ulnar variance, this depends on the specific condition. So in the setting of ulnar carpal abutment syndrome, treatment can be an ulnar shortening osteotomy, a wafer procedure, a Darrick procedure, a Sauvé-Capenge procedure, ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty, and or ulnar head replacement. For more information on treatment of ulnar carpal abutment syndrome, please listen to the podcast dedicated to ulnar carpal abutment syndrome. Treatment of ulnar variance in the setting of a TFCC tear can be arthroscopic debridement, arthroscopic repair, ulnar diaphyseal shortening, a wafer procedure, a limited ulnar head resection, and a Darrick procedure. For more information about the treatment of TFCC injury, please listen to the podcast episode about TFCC injuries. Finally, in the setting of Kienbach's disease, treatment of ulnar variance can be done with a temporary scapho-trapezoidal pinning, a joint leveling procedure, radial wedge osteotomy, vascularized bone grafts, distal radius core decompression, partial wrist fusions, proximal row carpectomy, wrist fusion, and or total wrist arthroplasty. For more information about treatment of Kienbach's disease, listen to the podcast episode about Kienbach's disease. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about ulnar variance, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. In a patient with minus 2.5 millimeters of ulnar variance, which of the following statements best describes the distribution of compressive load across the wrist? And the choices are 1, approximately 50% of the wrist load is accepted by distal radius and 50% is accepted by the distal ulna. 2, approximately 80% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal radius and 20% is accepted by the distal ulna. 3, approximately 80% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal ulna and 20% is accepted by the distal radius. 4, approximately 95% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal radius and 5% is accepted by the distal ulna. And 5, approximately 60% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal radius and 40% is accepted by the distal ulna. The correct answer to this question is 4, approximately 95% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal radius and 5% is accepted by the distal ulna. So ulnar variance describes the cranial caudal position of the distal ulna in relation to the distal radius at the wrist. In neutral ulnar variance, 80% of the compressive load across the wrist is accepted by the distal radius and 20% is accepted by the distal ulna. With minus 2.5 millimeters of ulnar variance, which corresponds to a negative ulnar variance, approximately 5% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal ulna. With plus 2.5 millimeters of ulnar variance, which corresponds to positive ulnar variance, approximately 40% of the wrist load is accepted by the distal ulna. As discussed in the biomechanical study by Palmer and Werner, the loading characteristics of the wrist are dependent on the radial ulnar variance. Specifically, a 2.5 millimeter increase in ulnar variance increases load accepted by the ulnar carpal joint from 18% to 42%. A 2.5 millimeter decrease in the ulnar carpal variance will decrease the load accepted by the ulnar carpal joint to 4.3%. That's all for this review about ulnar variance. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.